Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
It's good to see you all. It's been such an exciting time for me this summer as we head into the summer. I've been here a little over a year now, and it was this past month, it's my first time to be to Da'an Park, and now I've gone three times in the past, since this month. And my first time to play basketball in like 5 years, my first time to play volleyball in a few years. It's I got to a beach finally. Over a year here in Taiwan, never been to a beach, got to a beach yesterday for the baptism, which is amazing. So it's like, this is just a good time. It's going to be a great summer. We're glad you're here with part of Every Nation. This summer, we're going to have fun. Probably less events, like formal events, and more just hanging out. Going to the zoo. I love zoos. I love zoos so much. I studied zoology in college. So I'm just excited to finally make it to the Taipei Zoo. So I will be there. But really what I loved yesterday was the baptisms. And the thing I love most about my time here in Taipei so far has been just seeing people respond to Jesus and people wanting to love Jesus more, wanting to follow him and commit their lives to him. And so we wanted to start off today. Actually, I think the best kind of preaching is just sharing what Jesus has done in our lives. And so we've asked two of the people who got baptized yesterday to just come and share what God is doing in their lives. I think I have a microphone here. So let's invite up Yalin and Izelle are going to come up and share. Come on down.
I'm a bit nervous because I'm not really used to speaking in public. So this will be my first testimony, or I guess my second. All right, so good morning, everyone. Yesterday, we had our baptism in Fulong. Thank God that we're blessed with good weather. I, together with several brothers and sisters in Christ, publicly declared our faith. It was such a heartwarming and transforming experience for me. Hearing people share their testimonies and why they've decided to follow Christ amazes and encourages me. But most importantly, it's how God transforms people's heart. I love how it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And it's really, it speaks volume to me, this verse. So why did I decide to commit my life to Jesus? It's because I too, firsthand, experienced his love, healing, and forgiveness. So let me share a short backstory. From being broken from a past relationship, from 2017, I struggled with healing and unforgiveness in my heart. For almost 3 years, that's too long, because of the betrayal and rejection from someone from my past relationship. But it's when I started to focus on God that one day I just felt healed, like completely healed. All thanks to the Father who is our healer. I waited for so long to be healed, but it was only him who has the power to heal. And by God's grace, I was finally able to find it in my heart to forgive that person. I learned how to forgive because he forgave me first. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Let me leave you with this. In my brokenness, I found Jesus. In him, I found my purpose, and I will continue to follow him in all the days of my life. Lastly, I would like to share with you this verse from John chapter 15, verse 4. "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. So my name is Suzelle, and I'm from South Africa, and I've been living in Taiwan for nearly 9 years. It's been a long time. Firstly, I also want to thank God for a perfect day yesterday. It was truly the most beautiful day. So I believe we're all either sun-kissed or we're slightly burned today. So either way, okay, I'm extremely grateful for Every Nation for organizing this wonderful event yesterday. Last week, Kevin announced that we are going to have this beach baptism at Fulong Beach in Taiwan, so you can get baptized there at the beach, Taiwan. And I was thinking, I've been here for so long that it didn't sound that special. You know, I've been here for 9 years. So, however, as we were all standing in a circle yesterday, and we were singing and praying, and we were listening to each other's testimonies, I really felt moved by the Holy Spirit. I looked around and I realized I've been to Fulong multiple times. I ran an 18-kilometer extreme east trail on the Fulong Hills, and I even got my scuba diving license there. And I also camped on the beach there at Fulong. So I just felt like yesterday was different. I felt like I had a new heart, I had new eyes. I just appreciated it more. So for 29 years, I made my own decisions. I was in control of my own life. And last year, I even bought a one-way ticket to South Africa, where in South Africa, I decided, okay, I'm going to trust God. I want him to open the next door for me. Wherever he will lead me, I will go. And so I came back to Taiwan, and here I am, right? But it was only last year, on the 21st of November 2021, that I encountered him in Da'an Park, where he spoke to me, and I felt like I had to just surrender and give up my life and just lay it at his feet. He took away my fears, my anxieties, and declared that there is hope and freedom. Life is different in Christ. So in comparison to all the times I visited Fulong, my life now is just so much sweeter. Yeah. It's filled with all the fruits of the Spirit. It's also filled with brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm truly so grateful and so blessed. So after giving my life to him, I still had my doubts about getting baptized. I don't like making a big deal about myself, but even my own baptism isn't about myself. It's about Jesus' work on the cross, and we should all make a big deal about that victory. So my baptism was an amazing celebration of all that Jesus has done for me. I got to wash away my old sinful self and give the rest of my life completely to Christ. Yesterday, I got to publicly declare on a beach in Taiwan that I'm God's beloved daughter. So thank you.
Well, that's exciting. I just love when God moves on our hearts and seeing people respond to that. You know, God loves each and every one of us, and his desire is to bring us all into that place of blessing where our lives really begin to understand why we're here, what we're made for, and the life that he intended us to live completely submitted to him with his power and grace moving through our lives. This is what God wants to do in us. This is what God wants to do through us. But he is too much of a gentleman to ever grab a hold and just do it. He always waits for us to invite him. And so I love seeing people just submit their lives to God and say and make that choice to say, I want to choose you, God. I invite you into my life. I want to live the kind of life that you intended for me to live, a life in communion with you, walking with God, where God becomes our strength, God becomes our foundation, God becomes our help and our hope. And so that's our prayer today as we go through this series called The Sweet Life, based on the fruit of the Spirit. It's taking a look at life as God intended for us to be. That we would be like a tree producing fruit. Fruit that brings that attraction, brings sweetness and refreshing, brings nutrition, brings health, and brings multiplication. All the things that fruit does, that's what God intends in our lives. That we would live that kind of a sweet life. Not only sweet for ourselves, but sweet for those around us. That people would be attracted to us. That people would feel blessed when they're around us. I always love neighbors who have great fruit trees. You know, and say, anytime you want mango, just come and get it. You want some lychee, come and get it. You know, but that's the way we're supposed to live our lives. Is to be like a fruit tree that's available to anyone around us. And so that's my prayer for today. And so as we get into the Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your life in us. Lord, we just take a moment. We know that you are here with us, how you love to gather with us whenever we gather, how you love to be where we are when we worship, how you promised that whenever two or three of us would come together, that you would be right here amongst us. And today, Lord God, we just want to take a moment and invite you to come and may you speak to our hearts. That today would be more than just a day of being inspired or informed, but truly, Lord God, we would be transformed. That your Spirit would speak to our hearts. That each and every one of us would be drawn closer to you and see a little more of who you are. Become more like you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so today we're talking about love. We're in this series called The Sweet Life, and it's based on Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. I think we have that there. Yes, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law against these things. And so as we look at these different fruit of the Spirit, we're going to start with the first one, love, which when you get back into the language, the original languages, they say actually love is the fruit of the Spirit and all the others are just aspects of love. But we're going to take a week on each one, starting with love, and just begin to unpack. What does that mean for us practically? This sounds really good and it looks great on a plaque in our house, but we want to know, how do we apply it to our lives? How do we make it so that the neighbors who live around us eat from this fruit? How do we make it so that in our workplace, this is what people see? That when people talk about us, this is what they say. And so we're going to look at this first one, love. And our title for today is, This Is What Love Is. Remember, if you grew up like me back in the, I don't remember what decade it was, but there was that song, I Want to Know What Love Is. Right? You know that song? Yes, Kat knows that song. You know, I want to know what love is. There you go. Lani's going to sing it for us. But you know, so people want to know what love is, and people have all these different definitions of what love is. But the Bible declares this is what love is, and Scripture tells us that's how God defines himself. He says, I am love. So when we look at him, when we look at Scripture, we get what he intended for love to be. Because we, as human beings in our sin-broken world, we mess up the definitions of love. And we have all different kinds of crazy definitions of love. And so it is that, you know, when I find someone that I love and I think I'm going to love more than anybody else, and I make promises to them and say, of all the people that I could spend the rest of my life with, I want to spend it with you. And I'm going to do that till we both die. And then a year later, we're like, can't stand each other and don't want to be with you anymore. And just, you know, that's what love is for so many people, right? That's not what the Bible's talking about. And so we don't want to have the kind of love that lasts until the emotions run dry, because my emotions are all over the place, or until something goes bad in the relationship, because things always go bad in the relationship. We want a love that lasts and that transforms relationships. We want love that changes our emotions, not that's subject to our emotions. And so we're going to look at what the Bible says. This is what love is. And this is how you do love. The Bible says that love is a fruit. So love is produced. Fruit is something that a fruit tree just naturally produces. Mango trees just naturally produce mangoes. Apple trees produce apples. And so if we're saying love is a fruit, there's a one part of love that is just simply produced in us. If we're healthy and we're growing the way God intended, then the fruit of love is naturally what we produce. Love is produced in us. But there's another way in which the Bible says that love is commanded of me. So love is produced in me by God, but also love is commanded of me by God. So love is both a fruit, a product, something I produce just naturally, but it's also something that I have, it's an action, something that I have to do, something that I have to get myself and discipline myself to do. Matthew 22, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Matthew replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So love is a command. It's something that we do, something that we are responsible for. So how is it that love is both a fruit that we produce and an action that we're responsible to do? How do those things go together? Love is something that we are. There's the be aspect, be loving. And there's the do aspect, the things we have to do love. See, love is not just a feeling. Love is not just an emotion. Love is meant to be an action word, something that we do, something that we take hold of. And so we're going to look at this, the being and the doing of love. How do we distinguish between the two? The Bible says that God is love. So he's in that aspect of being. But the Bible also says God so loved the world that he gave. And so this part that God both is love, but he does love. And so as we were created to be in God's image, and so we also need to be love and do love. And what does that look like in life? If you're not already confused, it's okay. We'll get there. No, but so we want to look today and just unpack the scripture to see what does it mean that love is both an action, but also it's a characteristic that we have. One thing I can tell you as we go into this is that if you're going to understand love, if you're going to become love to people around you, if you're going to be a person who walks in that commandment of loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it is going to be something that you have to be all in on. It's going to take everything inside of you. That's why we love baptism, because baptism is that moment where we just say, you know what? We've dated for a while, me and God, and you know we've hung out, and you know, but now the rest of my life, this is the one I choose. This is who I commit to. And that's kind of what baptism is. We already have a relationship with God, but it's a moment where we say, I just want to lay down the rest of my life to God. I want to give the rest of who I am to him. I'm all in. And for us to experience love the way that God intends it, we have to be all in. So it's a big deal, this becoming love and doing love. There's a quote by Stephen Covey. If you've never read his book, Seven Habits, it's a great book. But he says, sow a thought, reap an action, sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And what that is just a rephrasing what the scripture says. Out of our heart flow all the issues of our lives. But it starts on the inside. It starts with our thoughts. It starts with our decisions. Love begins with a conscious choice to say, I want to be a loving person. I want to be a person who does love, who treats others with love, who acts out of love, who when I look at the world, I see it through the perspective and the lens of love. For most of us, that's a huge shift, because I don't always look at the world through the eyes of love. I look at the world through the eyes of my own ambitions, my own desires, my own pleasures, my own priorities, my own intellect and what I think, my own evaluation of people and circumstances. But if we are love, then that's the perspective through which we view the world. So love starts actually on the inside. The being, the being who I am on the inside results in the doing. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 says this. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. So when we talk about love being developed in us, us becoming people of love, love becomes the fruit that our life bears. Then what we're really actually talking about, if God is love, is we're talking about God being formed in our lives. And Paul says, actually, this is really hard work. to see Christ formed in our lives. So we see in this scripture the aspect of what is it for, how do we become love? How do we develop the character of love? What does it mean for us to produce the fruit of love? It comes out of Christ being formed in us, because God is love. And so the more that we become what God intended for us to be, that's why in Genesis, when at the beginning of time, when the Bible looks back on creation, God said, let's make man in our image. So you and I, we were created to be in God's image. That's why we're supposed to bear the fruit of love. Because the more that we are, Christ is formed in us, the more God takes control of our lives, the more that we step into our created purpose and our created identity, which is to be in the image of God, the more the fruit of love comes out of us, the more that love is inside of us. In fact, John said this, he said, if you say you love God, but you don't love people, if it doesn't show up in your relationships with people, then you don't really love God. You don't understand what that means, because it flows from who we are in God, but then it always connects to how we treat people. So the doing and the being are interconnected in our lives, and they affect each other. You were created to love God with all that you are and to love people the same. There's two verses that sort of play into this, that show this dichotomy, or really the union of the two. And it's Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. So how do we get to know God? Sometimes we just have to be still and just quiet ourselves and remove every other desire, priority in our lives outside of God, and just say, I'm just going to spend some time focusing on who God is and letting God reveal himself to me. We often call this quiet time. It's time we get into the Bible and we start to read it and say, God, what does God look like? And as we read the scripture, the Bible says this, that the scripture is written for a purpose. It's not just to give us information, but actually when we read the scripture, if we allow the Holy Spirit to do it, he'll actually, in the reading of the scripture, our lives can begin to be transformed, to be more like him. But the Bible also says this, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me. So there's a part of just being still and letting God transform us in that stillness, where it's not what we're doing, but it's what God's doing inside of us. But there's the other part where we search for him. And we say, I need to find God. I'm going to work at this. And we pursue becoming like God. And so the two work hand in hand. Sometimes that can be confusing. Like, is this the time to be still? Is this the time to pursue? How do I know which is which? And it's both. And you'll find that as you continue to grow in God, it'll just come to you as you go through the day. You just realize, this is the time when I just need to take some time out and just be alone with God and just think about God, meditate on him. And there'll be other times when you're gonna say, oh man, I need to be more loving. I need to act more loving. I need to get around some people and just exercise love. And so both of these work together in our lives. But we're going to spend the rest of today just looking at, so what do we mean when we say be loving? When we say we're pursuing becoming like Christ in having the nature of love, or acting out and doing acts of love. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. It says, love is patient and kind. This is a description of what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. So let's just take a moment and these last few minutes, we're going to just break down what this means. Love is patient. What does it mean to be patient? Now, in one sense, patience has to do with time, but it's not just like length of time. It's not just, can I endure? Patience is not just endurance, although it includes endurance. But when we think about patience. It really means taking the time to give time. So I need to give time to the people in my life. I need to give time to the people that I work with, the people that I live with, the person that is bugging me in front of the line at Starbucks. Sometimes I just have to give them some time and say, it's going to be okay. You know, they'll change. Just got to give my kids time to grow up. I give my friends time to become more loving. Sometimes it's just giving people time to change and not just slamming, you know, just calling out every problem that they have and fighting them on. You know, sometimes it's just giving people time. Sometimes it's taking time. And say, I need to just take time out and spend some time with this person. And it's generally not the people we love hanging out with and that we get along with. It's generally the people that we have the conflict with that we need to give time. It's generally the people that we don't like that we have to take time for. But giving time and taking time requires that we make time. Because if you're like most people, we love to just fill our lives with activities and stuff, and we run so busy and so hard that we don't have the space in our calendar to really take time with people. And we don't have the space in our souls to give people time. I can't be bothered with this fool. You know, even that fool now, God's going to judge. Jesus said, don't call people fools. So take that out of there. But you know, that's what's in our hearts, right? And that's how we act so often. So love is patient. Love is kind. And that word kind is just pretty simple, right? Love is it just means be kind, be nice. Celebrate the good in other people. And what that means is you got to look for the good and you got to treat people like their best self. Be kind. We generally are kind to people we like. We generally are kind to people that we respect. We generally are kind to people that we want to like us back. But it's the people that we don't respect, the people that we don't, can't be bothered if they like us or not. Those are the ones, that's really where kindness is needed in our lives. And so everyone in our lives, we have to set ourselves to say, everyone that I meet, I'm going to find a way to celebrate who they are. This is why when we read the story of the prodigal father and the son, when the son took the father's inheritance and wasted it all, so disrespectful of his father, essentially saying, I wish you were dead, I just want you for your money. And then took that money and lived like a fool. It came back to the father just broken. The father didn't start to point out his faults. The father didn't respond to him based on what he had done or how he had treated him. The father responded based on the best part, that this is my son. And everyone that we meet is a lost son or daughter of God. A son or daughter of God that's lost their way and lost that image that God wanted to be in them. But we don't treat them according to the worst aspects of who they are and their worst choices. We learn to treat them according to who they could be in God. Because how will people ever get better if we don't help them? Are we expecting their education to do that, the government to do that? If we're believers in Christ, if we say we have God inside of our lives, if we say we're trying to live out the life that God intended, then we have to be the place where who people could be is celebrated. Where we begin to believe in people when they don't believe in themselves. When we begin to call out their best. All of us love that. And we love people who are around us who call out our best. And sometimes that's tough. Sometimes that is confrontation. Sometimes that is tough conversations. But we need that place where people do that in the context of believing in your best. I'm going to call that out in you. And of course, there's sometimes where we just don't, you know, all we need is we need some support. We need someone to believe in us, and we need to be those people. So be kind. Look for the best. Call out the best in people. Celebrate them. I love this. How many saw the movie Bambi? Is that before everybody's time? Did they remake that movie? I don't know. It seems like they should have. I think it came out when I was a kid. So, but there's something I remember from when I was a little kid, watching Bambi, and there was the rabbit in Bambi, Thumper, and Thumper's mom had this saying that she taught her son and said, Thumper, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. I think it's more like, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. And there's something about that. Our words, the Bible says, we can speak life or we can speak death. And the same mouth shouldn't be used for both. And sometimes if we can't be nice, it's better just to be silent. And it doesn't mean that we don't confront, that we aren't honest with people. It just means that when we do that, we do it out of belief in people. And we do it at a time and in a way that's going to help them, not destroy them. Next thing the Bible says, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to be selfless. Verse 4 says, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. And let's just leave this up for a while. Just be selfless, not be jealous. See, when we're selfless, when we're others-focused, then when someone else has something good happen in their lives, we're not thinking about us. We're thinking about them. And so what do? Instead of jealousy, celebration happens. We think, that was so awesome that person got blessed. We don't think, I wish that was me. And, when we're self-centered, jealousy comes out of selfishness. So we need to be selfless, boastful. When something good happens to me, I just want to make sure everybody knows the great thing that happened to me. Proud. Pride always has to do with leveling ourselves and trying to make ourselves better than somebody else. Rude. Rude is just not being aware, not being mindful of others. Not being aware of those around us. Don't be rude. Just be mindful. If someone's there, don't just push them out of the way. Take a moment. Be thoughtful. Think of others. It does not demand its own way. The selflessness, and a lot of times we can sort of even Christianize this. And we start talking about the ways we've been blessed, and we don't really speak of it as a way to encourage others to be blessed or to lift up God. We more talk about it as a way to show that, hey, I'm more, God loves me more than you, and I know the Bible better than you, and I am more anointed than you are, and I have more gifts in my life, and I've done more for the kingdom than you have. And that can happen whether it's amazing miracles that we do. It can happen when we just have, either we feel like we're a nicer person or a wealthier person or just seem more successful. There's so many ways that we can subtly work this selfishness in there. And start to measure ourselves blessed on God's blessing and measure other people and then make our own hierarchy based on that. As opposed to being one who says, God so blessed me. He wants to bless you. Can I share the blessing God's given with me? I want you to be blessed. That's selfless. The next one is, where are we at? Be nice. Love is not irritable. Quit being grumpy. This is tough, right? When bad things are going to happen to all of us in our lives. And more often than not, when junk happens to us, when bad things happen to our lives, there's somebody else who's disappointed us, who's offended us, who's done it to us. And what is our response in that moment? Love means that sometimes you don't act just based on how you feel. And you don't act based on what other people do. You act based on how God views them. And this is why Christ needs to be formed in us, because our normal response is to be irritable when someone does something that irritates us. But love requires patience. Love is patient and kind. Can you correct someone without crushing them? can you confront them without destroying them? This is how we learn to relate to people in loving ways. Then the Bible says, forgive. Love forgives. It keeps no record of being wronged. It's not that we haven't been wronged. It's just that we don't keep a record of it. The emotion may still be there. The hurt may still be there. And that's tough. It's tough. That's why we need God's help in this. But we never respond to people based on their hurt, the way they've hurt us. Love is righteous. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. What does that mean? Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. And so in everything that we do, are we doing it for Christ or doing it for ourselves? Because whenever we start to do things, even pursue things that God wants for us, like, you know, God wants you to be blessed. We're children of Abraham, and God said, Abraham, you're going to be blessed. And because you're blessed, that's how other people are going to be blessed. God's desire is for us to be blessed, but what do we do with that blessing? Is it, when we're blessed, is it for Christ? When we pursue blessing, is it for Christ? God is okay with you being known. Jesus was known. Thousands followed him. But his popularity was always for the purpose of leading others to the Father. So whether you're pursuing wealth, or you're pursuing popularity, or you're pursuing pleasure of any kind, whatever it is that you're pursuing, are you pursuing it in a way that Christ is glorified? And what people see out of that is more love in your life? Are the ways that you pursue the things you want out of life, the things you enjoy in life, do you pursue them in ways that cause you to love God more and reflect more of the love of God? Do you pursue them in ways that cause others to love God more? This is what it means to be loving. Lastly, love is unstoppable. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love is simply unstoppable. I love how Romans chapter 8 says it. It says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is that saying? As Christ is formed in us, as we become more like him, our love becomes more and more unshakable. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Does it mean that things will happen to us that don't look very loving? Yes. Things will happen to us. But we, even in the midst of all the trials that we face in life, the difficulties that we walk through, our hearts will be solid in that place of knowing that we're loved by God and that God will cause it to work out for good. And it's because of that, that in the worst of circumstances, we can continue to love. Anybody can love when things are going good. Anybody can love when they're popular and everybody loves them. It's being able to love when everything turns around you. Jesus saying, when all the people around me so hated me that they turned and wanted me to be crucified, in that moment, my heart for them was not just to endure the crucifixion, but to embrace the crucifixion, because he saw it not as just something to endure, but something to embrace as an act of love for the very ones who are crucifying him. And so in the moments when people tick you off, in the moments when they're not acting very loving, those are the moments when we need to choose not just to endure, but to love our enemies. don't know about you, but on my own, that's not who I am. That's not how I respond. But that's why love is not just an action, it's also fruit. As Christ is formed in us, as we allow Christ to be his character to be formed in us, as we read the scriptures, as we try to act in love, as we pray and ask God, as we fellowship together with others who are pursuing love, Christ becomes more and more formed in us, and we start to respond more like Christ, where love becomes a fruit. It just is, you squeeze me, that's what's going to come out. Love is what's going to come out. You break the skin, love is what's going to come out. You were created to be like Christ. You'll never be complete. You never experience the fullness of life as God intended it for you and I without the love of God. We're going to close by taking communion. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Paul said this, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" So we partake of communion because it's in communion that we remember what Jesus did for us. And communion as the act, as we partake of the bread and the cup, we're saying, "Lord, we want more of you. Where you were broken for us, God, may our hearts be so broken so that only you can put them back together again. And when you put our hearts back together again, may they be now a reflection of you." So we partake of the cup, we remember your promise to us that when we confess our sins, you will forgive us of our sins. And not only will you forgive us of our sins, but these sinful hearts inside of us, your blood will wash them and renew them to be hearts that love and know you. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing a song of commitment before we partake together. Song of communion.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.